The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Vindication. You know, Nick Fuentes often brags about his correct prediction, and he has been correct so many times. Much respect to him. But I think we should celebrate that I think I have seen the exact timescale of what was happening in this war. There's a video of me 11 days ago saying, this is a market fake out. This looks like a botched set of attacks. There will be symbolic exchanges, but we are not in World War III. We are not entering a war economy. The crashes on the market are fake outs. We're going to go back up. And I predicted that within the space of 7 days to 14 days, that all would have been exchanged and that there would be bravado and claim on the two sides that, oh, we destroyed Iran's capacity. And the extent of the destruction remains absolutely unassessed, unassessable, because, of course, Iran is not stupid enough to say either you did destroy the nuclear facilities or you didn't. I think neither is in their interest to reveal. Because if they reveal you haven't destroyed anything, then it's an invitation for the U.S. to strike again. So now we are talking about a ceasefire. There is some confusion. Is it a ceasefire to come? But it seems that there is an in-principle agreement between Qatar, U.S., Iran, and they say Israel, but Israel, it's not clear if Israel has been consulted. But basically, there is a strong force for peace and ceasefire. Now, ceasefire, people point out, is a tactical pause and not a long-term peace. But within the time scale of what we're looking at, ceasefire, it's going to have to start with a ceasefire, but just the fact that this ceasefire idea has the backing of both Iran and Trump, now it isolates Israel. If Israel wants to keep doing the warmongering, it's going to be costly for them, because now we have a Trump siding with Iran, saying that he has reached a deal. And there is one thing that Trump doesn't like. It's when people fuck up his deals. Look at this. I was saying 11 days ago, this looks like a market fake out that will immediately correct. And what did we get in this US-Iran war? Well, we got the crash of ETH. And now ETH is almost all recovered by this time. We're going to be reaching back these higher highs very, very quick. It's like instant correction, because people were fleeing away from, because people know that in a war economy, it's all oil and resources, and things rotate from companies to resources, because there's often war of resources. And of course, the Strait of Hormuz was at play. If there is a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, then the price of oil increases. But something told me that no, we were not headed toward massive war economy. Guy Slapkin says there is an autoplay now, though. Previous intro was playing on repeat Now JF made the silent dummy intro, so when the stream, you don't need to click anything. Okay, so it was the placeholder video that was... Because Rumble, when you start a Go Live, Rumble tells you you have to upload a placeholder video. I was like, okay, I'm going to upload my intro. But the fact is, it's the placeholder video that was keeping you guys from getting an automatic play. I will retain this because I removed the placeholder video many... Now, it's been many months on Rumble. I tried removing it because I was desperate. I was hoping that it would increase the experience, but I didn't know that it would. So I'm very happy. Now, if you get autoplay, that means it's their placeholder video. That's just a bad idea. Sneed for Life says, so do you think Nick Fuentes is mistaken? I don't know who to look to, Papa Jeff or Papa Fuentes. Well, I don't think that Fuentes was wildly beside the track. I just think he was seeing too much of the evolving situation in terms of an incoming war. And I was like, since 11 days, and I've been kind of different from a lot of the enthusiastic Twitter account out there because everyone is rooting. There's the pro-Israel and, yo, we're going to destroy them. And there's the warmongers that are sympathetic to Iran. Yo, we're going to destroy them. And my position has simply been, there's no interest right now for this to happen on either side. Trump doesn't want war. Iran doesn't want war. Russia and China don't want war. And so basically, there's just Israel who wants war. And I was like, it can't be that the Jews win, get everything they want once again. And so I don't think that Fuentes' analysis was invalid. I just think that perhaps he was extrapolating too far in the future. Perhaps, you know, when Fuentes came out with his maps and explained the historical situation from, 1950 to today. I think that was absolutely correct and deep. And I'm not here bashing on Fuentes. I'm just saying the greater design of Israel may have to wait 20 more years. That's all I'm saying. It's not necessarily happening now because no one but Israel wants this war. Senior Iranian official confirms to Reuters that Tehran agreed to Qatar-mediated U.S.-proposed ceasefire with Israel. So, in any case, whether that comes to be signed or not, or respected or not, we are entering the moment of the game where Israel is cornered. Because you have now Trump saying, okay, we've done what we... And this is exactly what I had predicted. Like, when we started talking about the U.S. involvement in all this, I said on Twitter, Trump is trying to make it a resolved issue, the nuclear issue. And that looks like someone who wants to shut down Israel on its other issue, the regime change issue. It looks like Trump is trying to say, I gave you A, but now stop complaining because that's what you were demanding. So now you have no more excuse to continue the war. It's exactly what I had predicted. Now, there is an Israeli military spokesman who declines to comment on Trump's ceasefire statement, according to the New York Times. So we already see what's at play here. No matter what happens with this, doesn't really matter. But what matters is everyone wants to celebrate and talk about the ceasefire, but Israel. So is Trump here? Is Trump trying to leverage on Israel and saying, look, I'm going to come out publicly and say that we have a ceasefire? And then you're going to be the last player to... You're either going to say, well, we don't want a ceasefire, and you're going to expose yourself to be the warmonger that you are, or you're going to just accept it. And anyways, I'm the president of the U.S., so I don't give a shit. I can do anything. I can invent a ceasefire. Sneed for Life says, is Trump playing 7D chess? Well, I think he's playing a form of complex game. I don't think it's super brilliant 7D chess. I think it's the game of how do I tell my Israeli funders that I've done what they wanted, while also not giving them the green light for a humanitarian disaster, which would be like a continued war with Iran. And perhaps the resolution that happened in Trump's brain goes as follows. Netanyahu always talks about nuclear Iran. I'm the president of the US with the biggest bombs in the world. If anyone can claim that he's destroyed Iranian nuclear capacity, it's me. And so I'm going to go out there, make a demonstration of force so that Netanyahu has no more argument to continue the war. Now, it's possible that in principle, Netanyahu could say, oh no, we have learned from our intelligence agencies that Iran is continuing to enrich. We have a graph here, and he would show you a schematic of some fake underground facility or real ones, and then argue, well, you know, Trump's strikes did not neutralize Iran's nuclear capacity. It's entirely possible, but it's one of these arguments that I think Trump understands instinctively. It sticks only with the very intellectual who follows through and who says, well, analytically that is correct or incorrect. But the average zombie vegetable out there that lives in America, you're not going to tell them that Trump hasn't blown up the nuclear capacity of Iran with his big bombs, you know? That is how the American mind likes to think. And so you're taking it out of comfort zone when you start arguing, oh, well, wait a minute, I have data here. Well, we don't care. If Trump said I blew the Iranian nuclear capacity, then he did. It's like the president has the power to create a fact, if you will. And Netanyahu would be extremely unwise to go against the grain. Because Netanyahu, up to now, it's like, oh, Mr. President, bravo, bravo. What a historical strike. And I was pointing to this 3 days in advance. I was saying, that puts Israel in kind of a corner. Because it's either we have the competence and capacity, and we did it. Or it's either we are incompetent and incapable, and we failed. And I don't think Trump would be capable of digesting a Netanyahu that comes and says you didn't do it. You didn't do it. DK Shadow says one of the B-2 pilots was a woman. Historic. Is that true? Yes, the operation was lame. We're gonna see the bunker buster bombs and how they work and the holes. But before that, let's celebrate an intellectual with some capacity to foresee. Here's what I'm saying 11 days ago. At the beginning of World War III. And it would be only that would at the beginning of back. Whether it happens or not, though, this is not the beginning of World War III. And it would be only the beginning of World War III if there was an interest in Iran in counter-escalation. And let me tell you, it's very easy to think, oh, well, Iran will do something. But again and again, we have been shown that Iran is not an advanced nation. They take the missiles like, you know, these brutal boxer that you can see are not particularly smart, but they can take a punch to the jaw and just continue boxing. And they'll be a little bit shaken by the punch, but they're kind of like zombie boxers. It's a special kind of boxer that's not particularly tactical, not particularly smart, but they can take hits. And I think that undeveloped nations, in a way, they're designed that way. That they have, that they do have. Don't know. I don't see. And what I would say to Nick Fuentes is, maybe you got too excited at the news. You know, we look at the news so much. We live in Twitterverse. Just relax, Nick. Relax. You're gonna come to see. You're gonna come to see how very small that is all. And Trump, with one word, one way or another, can completely change the direction of what's going on there. And in fact, could very well bring the world toward a more durable peace, one in which it seems that the current Israeli discourse is trying to lay the grounds to claim in 7 days from now or 4 days from now, we have destroyed the Iranian nuclear capabilities. And it looks like it's what they're going to do. They're going to strike little strikes here and there. And then they're going to say, that's it. We have destroyed the... See, I had felt the weakness of Israel when they said something like, this is a temporary operation that will last about 7 days. And so, yes, there were a lot of people who were like, we are in a war. It's you make a strike, you are in a war. Yeah, that's technically correct. But it's also possible that it's a very short war. Sneed for Life says, are they closing the gate of Hormuz? Will this affect shipping? We don't know as part of the current ceasefire. Is the ceasefire signed? Does the ceasefire have conditions? But it would be my guess that if there is any kind of durable ceasefire, Iran will not close the Strait of Hormuz and will not affect the oil prices by blockade or attack. Vance, I empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East.
And the second thing is, Kristen, I certainly empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East. I understand the concern, but the difference is that back then we had dumb presidents, and now we have a president who actually knows how to accomplish America's national security objectives. So this is not going to be some long, drawn-out thing. We've got in, we've done the job of setting their nuclear program back. We're going to now work to permanently dismantle that nuclear program over the coming years, and that is what the president has set out to do. Simple. And the second thing is...
So here's the problem. When you're in my position where you think that nothing ever happens and that nothing is happening. Now, these words are very worrying because he's talking about, well, what we've done is setting back. Now we're going to work in the coming years to completely eradicate the program. So it's does that mean new strikes? It seems that Vance, in words that are disguised as anti-war, because he first empathizes with people who don't want involvement in the Middle East, but in the same sentence, he's also saying there is years ahead of us where we'll be working to completely neutralize the nuclear capacity of Iran. I don't know that Trump would phrase it that way. But it seems that this is what Vance is pulling here. And is that a Vance that is preparing the minds and preparing the record so that when Trump gets out of office, Vance takes on and can make a case that he had put it on the record that he wanted continued engagement with Iran? That it looks like this to me. It looks like the softer possible way in which Vance could tell us that he intends long-term attacks against Iran. Trump was selected to sell you a Jewish war you would never buy from anyone else. That is a correct analysis, but that is also a Jewish perspective. And I don't know, I'm on the fence about to which extent has Trump had enough of the Jews, because he's trying to... He must have noticed something, because he's trying to make a world of peace, because what characterizes a Trump presidency is big focus on an expensive economy, on an expansion economy, money printing, economic success, delusions or reality of meritocracy, and peace. And yet, there is a bunch of people who are in the way of this peace. And right now, on the Ukraine-Russia side, it seems that it's mostly Zelensky who's not in for discussion. And right now, in the Israel-Iran pair, it's mostly the Jews of Israel that are not willing to discuss the ceasefire, or they are reluctantly joining the conversation. At some point, Trump will have enough of the Jews, because they always stand in the way of him having his perfect peace that he wants. Although he will always say publicly, probably, I side with the Jews and they are my friends, he must have noticed that it's always the problem. They're always the side that doesn't engage in peace conversation. They're always the side that try to push the U.S. further through entanglement and strikes in advance and basically provocative strikes, which is, this was my first reaction to the first Israeli strike on Iran. It was a provocation, and not even a provocation of Iran, but a provocation of Trump and Iran. Sense of Progress says, Iran has fucked the Zio-Israel delusion. Israel will never be the untouchable Iron Dome dream destination. 99% now want a one-way ticket out of town immediately, if not sooner. Oh yeah, you'd be crazy to... You'd be crazy to want to be in Israel. And most importantly, they have demonstrated that if they had a nuclear weapon, they could blow Tel Aviv up. Iran could just blow Tel Aviv up, because some of their missiles were good enough to penetrate and attack the anti-air defenses, and they were relatively precisely targeted, and in fact in a way that nuclear bombs don't even need to be that precisely targeted. And we have heard from Medvedev in Russia what I was expecting, what I was talking about for many weeks now. The possibility of Russia giving nuclear heads to Iran. Now, there's always been a possibility that Pakistan could give their nuclear head to Iran. I don't even see why it hasn't happened yet, to be honest. Maybe it's because really Iran doesn't want. Iran could just buy it from Pakistan. Or Iran could just ask it from Russia. And Medvedev, who is a high-level guy of the Putin administration and a high-level Russian political thinker, said, hey, we're going to give nuclear heads. We should give nuclear heads to Iran. Now, it's not an official confirmation from Putin himself. But if a guy of the level like Medvedev says these things, you know it's on the table. You know it's a possibility. So the question of the capacity of Iran to produce a nuclear weapon is kind of clownish and unimportant, because they have two paths to get a nuclear weapon anyway. And it may be a way for another state to say, I know this will eventually land onto Israel, but at this point I'm tired and I want it to happen, basically. I have Israel fatigue. You could have China decide this. If there's constant messing with China's resources, because China gets their their oil from Iran. So if you mess with the oil so much, and if you create situations of instability where Chinese energy cannot be guaranteed anymore, there is some point at which China may get Israel fatigue and either give their own nukes or direct Russia to do it or direct Pakistan to do it. John Drake says, Iran simply needs to wait. The U.S. money printer will do what missiles can't. Absolutely. That is where we're headed. We're headed toward the Trump economic boom, which, you know, it takes balls. For me, who's in the Israel critical, you know, social media sphere, I have most of my friends and the people I follow on Twitter. Every time there's a missile that drops into Israel, they're like, oh, whoa, Tel Aviv will be destroyed. And I'm like, whoa, 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 guys. I don't think we're headed there. Richard Land, JF, you should add this to your intro.
Let's talk about science.
The anus function is to shit. It's not funny, bro. It's not funny. You send me a... That's why you've been repeating 5 times your links, and I was like, do I click on this link? And it's like, you are retarded. You are excited at, oh, JF said something about the anus. And you disrupt me in my fucking show. Okay? With your fucking links. Back in the days, I would have blocked you immediately, and you would have lost your ability to speak forever. Try to be less retarded, okay? Try to be less acting like a fucking child, please. Frog Eyes says, I heard Iran has its own Samsung option, which they shoot missiles at unprotected oil production infrastructure across the Middle East that would obliterate global economy. Wasn't this happening in one of the Gulf Wars of the 90s where... Was it Kuwait? Kuwait was on fire because all of their oil wells had been capped off and they were literally just spouting oil in the air and all of it on fire. And it's like, it's a long and costly process to stop the fire of a natural oil well. Yeah, I remember seeing the IMAX video about it. We were like, we must have been 10 years old, 12 years old. It's like, put the 3D, put these glasses on, Jeff, you're gonna see the wells in 3D. And it's like, the wells of Kuwait were in flame, and they were in 3D. I've never liked the 3D thing. Never liked the 3D thing. Doesn't make sense. I'm tired today, my friends, because I woke up at 3:30 a.m. because I had to drive to the mechanic, and the mechanic was telling me, I can't touch your engine to fix it because it's too hot. So it needs a couple of hours of cool down. So I drove at 3:30 a.m. to the mechanic so that the mechanic was opening at 8 a.m. so that I would have a couple of hours of cooling down of the engine. So I got a check engine light last week on my new Dodge Caravan. It showed poof like this. It seemed that the Dodge Caravan was working great. So I wasn't super worried, but it turned out that it was a thermostat of the engine that was defective. And I learned a lot. First, the thermostat is important. The thermostat of the engine is important because it helps So I thought that the thermostat would activate at a certain level of heat to activate the radiator so that the coolant comes in the engine, gets the wind, gets cooled by the wind to fight off excess heat. But it's the reverse, actually. The thermostat tells the coolant system to shut off. So when the thermostat breaks, what I found is that my engine was running cooler. Very interesting. Prog Eyes says, no, it opened to allow coolant flow at a certain temp. Below that temp, it stays closed to help with warm-up. Exactly. So this thermostat isn't saying, oh, you're hot, let's cool you. This thermostat is saying, you've been cooled enough, let's stop cooling. And that's very important, because without the thermostat, I was running at about a quarter heat. You know, the heat indicator, the arrow was at a quarter. And so I was running a colder engine. And it turns out that the entire chemistry and physics of the engineering of the engine, it's all fine-tuned so that the engine has a perfect temperature. If it's colder, it still works. No problem. You're not going to break your engine with this. But your fuel use is 5 to 10% more. You can feel a little performance difference of about 5% of your horsepowers. You can feel that they're not there anymore when your engine is cold. And you can feel the sound, the feel of the engine when you press on the pedal. There's something that's more wobbly, less stable. But it's very subtle. I don't mean a massive issue. So basically, you need the thermostat. This is what I realized today. Because now that my thermostat was repaired, I get out of the garage and the engine works perfectly, and I can feel that it has this little extra to it, that it's optimized. And what I realize about the heat indicator is, oh, so the thermostat keeps the engine warmer because it tells the radiator to stop cooling. This is very important, extremely important, because the whole cylinders are designed so that at this specific temperature, it works optimally. But below it, above it, it's a little less efficient. You waste a little bit of fuel. Cat Lady Genocide says, do you think the salesman hid this problem? All in all, I don't accuse the salesman because, you know, the check engine line really showed up on a hot day. Maybe he hadn't driven it enough to see that problem. Maybe the former owner didn't drive it enough to cause that problem, and maybe it wasn't hot enough outside to cause that problem. So I'm not frustrated at the salesman. And anyways, I find it a blessing that first I have a fresh thermostat, I have a very, very good working engine. I know that I'm working on a solid base, so when I invest, this cost about $300 Canadian. It's nothing. I don't mind at all, and I know that I'm working on an engine that is reliable otherwise. So I knew that there would be some little fixes here and there. This is a used car. DK Shadow says, human body works the same way. Thermoregulation. Greatest Whitest says, hey, Greatest Whitest, I started working on the outro adding your name, but I got an electrical shutdown yesterday because of a storm. But I'm getting there. I'm working on the file. I'm getting a new outro with your name on it. New Guy Prime says, 300 seems high. Well, 300 Canadian is like 220 US. It's parts, including parts and work. Listen, you do have to kind of open a part of the engine to get there, and so I'm totally fine with this. Totally fine. Frog Eyes says, thermostat is pretty common failure component. Any used car you buy, you can expect thermostat replacement to be coming up as a needed repair. Yeah, it's not even the first time in my life that I did have to change the thermostat on a Hyundai Accent that I had. All right, so the strikes of the U.S. There is still even open questions, despite the fact that we seem to be headed toward a ceasefire. There is open question about whether the strike of the U.S. has actually blown up anything. Because you're talking about a mountain area. Now, the first thing to note is these bunker buster bombs are known to travel 60 meters deep before they explode. But 60 meters deep in dirt. 60 meters deep in topsoil. Not 60 meters deep in granite. And in fact, they are known to do only 10 to 20 meters in concrete. Now, even concrete is much less solid than granite. So the question is, were these bombs trying to make their way into granite? Because if they were, and it's hard to know, you know, how much of a mountain actually has granite? How much of that mountain is just mud? How much of it is concrete or whatever? Or concrete-like sedimentary rock? Very hard to know. And then it is said that the facility, the nuclear facilities, are 90 meters deep. So, okay, suppose you have the 60-meter penetration, and suppose that the explosion was able to pierce through or crumble 30 meters worth of rock, then maybe you get to the base. But if anything goes wrong in the path, if there's too much granite, it doesn't get deep, maybe it gets 10 meters deep, then will the explosion really really crumble the structures underneath? Those are some of the first question. Second question is, was it very clear that the facility was right there? Or were the bomb points more at the entry and exit points of the facility? You know, they may have just crumbled the entry tunnels and exit tunnels. I'm still looking at these holes and thinking they could have destroyed the entire facility or they could have done nothing. And it's going to take time because I'm not sure that the Iranians are super motivated in digging back up. Because it has been shown anyways that for the days before this attack by bunker buster bombs, they had been lining up trucks and getting materials out of this site. So it looks like they have gotten, if not all, of the apparatus, the centrifuges. Maybe some of this is not transportable. But they probably got any advancement stage of uranium that they were at. They probably took it out. You know, this is a line of like 20 trucks or something. So there was an operation to empty this place. Secondly, it is said that it wasn't even active. So we're all in the paranoid belief of BB here. Because it's not clear that it was active at all. And perhaps it was inactive to begin with, and they had many days to pull out whatever was maybe pieces that they could recycle or things that are important or uranium that's at a stage of advancement that is interesting. So it seems to me that there's lots of bravado and paranoia in this exchange on all sides. There's bravado on the side of Bibi Netanyahu to be thinking that his plan, you know, his dirty attack on Iranian society and civil enrichment will work, civil engineers, that kind of stuff. there's a bravado in his way. He does the strikes without Trump behind at first, and then brings him into it through pressure and through force, basically through putting him in front of the fait accompli. There's bravado on the side of Iran when they talk about their missile salvos, and we've seen a ridiculous... They sent 6 missiles toward a U.S. base in Qatar, and 1 toward a U.S. base in some other place, I think Iraq. And none of these missiles have done any damage. They have not killed humans. And in fact, President Trump was thanking Iran to have warned them 12 hours in advance. So we're into the space of bravado and ego. And if you're really an enemy who wants to hurt the other side, you don't tell 12 hours in advance, please remove your staff from this facility, there's going to be incoming bombs. And anyways, the missile salvos was exactly as I described 11 days ago. They were just easily neutralized missile salvos. So we don't even have the beginning of damage on the American side. The strike is so laughable that the president of the U.S. himself can say, your strike is so ridiculous, I don't even have to reply to it. So we're not in World War III here. New from President Trump, that was the statement of Trump. Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected and have very effectively countered. There have been 14 missiles fired, 13 were knocked down, and 1 was set free because it was headed in a non-threatening direction. I am pleased to report that no Americans were armed and hardly any damage was done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system. Can you believe this? Trump is talking about Iran like a little child. You got it out of your system now? You've had your little angry bout? So now you're going to calm down and go rest? It's weird that among a cold-blooded analysis of what happened and the damage, Trump just throws this stuff. Now they've gotten it out of their system, and hopefully there will be no further hate. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. There's so much that doesn't work here. Is that, okay, is it a temper tantrum? If it's a temper, is it based on hate? If it's a temper tantrum based on hate, why would they warn in advance? If it's so irrational that it's basically a child temper tantrum based on absolute hatred of the American and, oh yeah, Kalimani says death to America. Okay, but then why would they warn in advance? They warn in advance because it's obvious in this whole exchange that no one wants war except Israel and its most sycophantic agents of the U.S. That's it. So Iran doesn't want to hurt America. Iran doesn't want to have escalation. Iran, as I predicted 11 days ago, can just take it in. Their uranium program is barely affected. They still have working, functional enrichment facilities, and they will still be able to continue the quest, maybe delayed, but certainly not blocked. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region, and I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. Now, that's a little wink here. Trump is cornering Israel here and telling us, from now on, I will also be speaking to Israel, ordering them to take a certain direction, telling them, you go for peace, please. So that's an interesting turn of events. It's a little bit like I was seeing it. I was like, is it possible that Trump is about to start saying to Israel, no? Because that would be historic. But I think we're headed there. We're headed there. Congrats, world. It's time for peace. Iran has officially responded to our obliteration, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then after that truth, which we just read, he said, congratulations, world. It's time for peace. Widespread GPS jamming across the Strait of Hormuz. 6 supertankers performed abrupt U-turns. So it appears that GPS jam, a technology meant to take all of these automated ships and basically fuck them up with jamming signals so the ships don't know what to do anymore. Post-clinic says, Jeff, you're a smart guy. Do you think the ceasefire is fake? My friend Endo is convincing me that it's all bullshit. No. I don't think it's fake. I think it might not work. I don't know how Israel will respond in the coming days and if they have a strategy to get extended warmongering even against the will of the whole world. But it's definitely not fake in the sense that there is definitely an effort, which I think comes from Trump, Putin, China, Qatar, and Iran for peace. I think this is what we can say tonight. Now, look at the size of the nations I just named. Now, if you tell me that Israel can go against these 5 nations together saying, no, shut the fuck up. You do peace. Now, if Israel goes against all these nations, I think we might be seeing some of the first times where Israel loses it, really. Where Israel gets told by the US president, shut the fuck up. That would be a beautiful moment. I'm seeing it as a possibility. I think it might happen. It depends on how stubborn Israel wants to be with these continued... Look at this. Video of one of the conversation. The Mossad is bragging that they have contacted commanders of the IRGC, so the Iranian army, and threatened to kill them if they do not resign and absolve themselves of the Islamic Republic within 12 hours by releasing a video. This is fucking terrorism. And everyone knows it's terrorism. Israel has been judged already in the International Criminal Court. They are a genocidal terroristic regime. Okay? They just do genocide. This is a factual finding. And I am excited at the moment where we can see a losing Israel, where we can see an Israel that gets told by Trump, you stop that kind of thing, please. Now, I know it's a dream. I have a dream that one day Israel gets told, hey, you can't do everything dirty like that. You can't treat others like that. And we have a lot of reasonable nations here, like China. China, from their perspective, this is all an attempt of Israel to grasp control of Iran, which is the gas station of China. So it's kind of a miracle. You have to give it to the Chinese and their love for peace, which is just instinctive. The Chinese always talk about peace and always prioritize peace. It's part of their culture. It's part of their political diplomacy. But I was thinking, what if China was a little more like Putin? what if China was a little more like Israel? What if China was a little more like the US? China would already be in this conflict, shooting toward Israel. Like Israel would deserve a little bit of pushback from China. In a way, they are very lucky that the Chinese people are always favoring peace. Because China is seeing basically a rotation of the war. And this was extremely well explained by Nick Fuentes. That the whole Middle Eastern project is the short horizon Greater Israel project, where Israel would be unopposed, even if Israel is a small nation, would be unopposed from the west of Africa to Iran, and would essentially be, if not controlling these countries, they would be in such deals with them that makes these countries incapable of contesting the Israeli hegemony. And what Fuentes is saying is, this is a short-term thing that Israel wants to accomplish. The greater landscape, what happens in the next 100 years, is the war center of the world rotating toward the Asian location. So rotating around China, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, rotating around India. So the world of war, instead of being centered toward the Middle East, if the Middle East is pacified and basically acquired by Israel, it all turns toward
the
China.
The best Trump can do is gently suggest Israel plays nice. Jewish power is far too great in the U.S. for Trump to be heavy-handed.
That's why my fever dream is a dream. There is a lot of power over Trump, and Israeli power in the U.S. is massive. So can he have the balls? And the thing is, when you're a president, it's all about your balls, and it's all about your heart. Because he has all of the tools. Even an Adelson, a Miriam Adelson, she has no power over Trump. And so when you're a president, you can fuck your donors in the ass. But very often we don't see this. And very often it's because ultimately, maybe President Trump has a long-term plan where he not only wants to be a good president, but he wants the future donors, like Miriam Adelson, to give maybe to Donald Trump Jr. to become a president. Maybe that's what he has in mind. If he has this kind of thing in mind, he's going to be always submissive to our Jewish power, even if all it takes really is balls at this point. All right, thank you so much for the donation. John Galt has sent $50 on Rumble. Thanks to you, too. He says, throw in with me, boys. Thanks, JF. Thank you very much, you two, for your great generosity. Iran's telegraphed retaliations runs its course, but these big questions remain. It feels choreographed and intentional. The Iranians get to tell their population they struck a mighty blow against the U.S., even if they didn't, and Trump has the room now to decide not to retaliate. That's exactly how I see it. It's very theatrical, what we're seeing, and I've felt the theatrical nature of it since 11 days ago. So here we have... 6 missiles apparently headed toward the U.S. base.
La ilaha illallah. Southwest, coming from the direction of Al-Udeid. Windows are shaking. La ilaha.
So lobbed missiles. It's like playing softball. Frog Eyes says, JF, Odyssey is getting payment processing back Will you return to Odyssey? Are you making less, more, or the same on Rumble as you did on Odyssey? I would say I've done a little bit less as I was reestablishing and people get used to the new Streamlabs entropy. But I would say this week or the last 2 weeks with the generous donations, the kind you've seen now, I've now recovered my usual income. Now, yes, Rumble has higher viewership. How do they count the views? Is that really more people coming to my show, or is it just a difference in the counts of refresh screen and that kind of thing? That I'm not sure. In any case, Odyssey has been claiming on Twitter, we have a payment processing back. It's coming in a few days. Well, okay, I'm excited. But what is it? what is it? Is it simple? Is it beautiful? Is it blockchain based or not? I'm going to see it and judge. Maybe. I'm not barring a return to Odyssey, but Rumble has been pretty good. Rumble has been pretty good. There are people who don't like Rumble. There are people who don't like Odyssey. I'm open to everything. And in any case, I hope that Odyssey is very successful, because the more parallel ways we have of escaping censorship, the better it is and the more stable it is. This guy describes exactly what's been happening in the last few days. From Iran is finished, America will level Iran to we don't need to do anything. That's exactly what I've seen the last few days. We have a victory strike, victory celebration in Iran. I don't know to which extent that's a celebration, or is it just regular cars driving around? Is it really a celebration of victory against America? Doesn't matter, really. An excellent clip by Nick Fuentes on Paul Gottfried. And I know this guy because, you know, when I go to the show Koto Gottfried, that's Paul Gottfried. When I speak with, most of the time it's just Koto interviewing me. But I remember back in the days there was Paul Gottfried as a co-host. And so Nick Fuentes has made an expose of Paul Gottfried, and I couldn't get the chance to know much about him from his job as a co-host on Koto Gottfried, because then he wasn't really talking about his views much. And but ultimately it boils down to this: he is a paleocon. He's a paleocon who's Jewish, and what we see with these people all the time is they can be anything. They can have any principles. They can be libertarian, they can be paleocon, they can be liberal, but in the end they will all reveal themselves when something like this happened with Iran, and they will reveal themselves to ultimately be more bound to support the Israeli cause when it matters to Israel. And so it's interesting because I see a very valid critique by Nick Fuentes here, but at the same time, I have known this man more like a human being, and I didn't even know he was Jewish. So it's like I was careless. Now, he's never advocated in front of me war with Iran, but it turns out that Nick was pointing out he's now advocating for it in a blog post. So, it's Jews, they have something, it triggers inside of them, it makes them extremely irrational when it comes down to their survival. They're just beside the track. They lose track of their own principle. And that's also what happened to AIU, Devon Tracy. Devon Tracy here is trying to make a joke implying that I'm a murderer. He's trying to somehow make a joke between me murdering Mama JF and the US strike on Iran. Here's what he says. He says, I think the people in that bunker, so he's talking about the people in the mountain that received the 6 missiles from the US. I think the people in that bunker just wanted to live off-grid for a while and never use their cell phones or credit cards again. Funny how that happens. So he's trying to, we're going to call out JF by reminding him that he has this bizarre story to justify the disappearance of his wife.
Just making sure nobody out-donates me.
Well, the war of donation is to my benefit. Keep that war going! Keep that war going, indeed. Greatest, whitest, thank you very much for your donation. So, Devon Tracy is... he's been for many years... for a year at least. He's been obsessive on this idea that I murdered Mama JF. He's fell for it in a way that's even less rational than the Alberta housewives. And what I was explaining is much of what I do publicly is an IQ test. I like to test people's intelligence. And Devon Tracy has failed so hard. And it boils down again. I learn about him as I interact with people, and I try to understand how is a guy who identifies around rationality and atheism and facts are better than your feeling, and I love Sam Harris. How does a guy like this end up hating on me? And someone explained to me and showed clips that, yeah, Devon Tracy is Jewish. So that's why he likes the Jews so much. That's why he likes Sam Harris. And that's why, like every Jew, they believe their bullshit. And they believe their bullshit when they go after someone like me. They get their hive mentality. JF is a pedo. JF is a rapist. JF is a murderer. And they can't help it. So Devon Tracy, his mom apparently is Jewish. So he will go around saying he's not Jewish, but he's not religiously Judaistic. He is ethnically Jewish. His mom is Jewish. And it's the same thing with Karen Strahan, see? Karen Strahan, a literal MRA with a record of fighting against false allegations against men and saying, you know, fuck these family courts where women systematically lie against men. And she arrives to me. She arrives to my case. It's like, no, I believe the allegations against him. What? Oh, yeah, and I'm Jewish. There is a big problem with the behavioral attitude, just the behavioral... There's a behavioral issue with Jews. They cannot follow their principles when it's about them. And they cannot follow their principles when they perceive an anti-Semite. Buffer getting wrecked. Well, I was about to close the show anyway, so... people are saying there's an Israeli airstrike on JF's ISP. Well... I've made sure with my logging of wood in the last week, I've ensured that even I could survive an Israeli strike. My internet could survive an Israeli strike. Blimpy Supervisor says, his mom died when he was young. I did not know he was Jewish. Wow. Well, you know, someone, he was the first channel. Someone came and told me that on Twitter. I'm trying to find the reply where that happened. I was a big fan of him, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I think they may have... Oh, it's from Secret Saucepan. Secret Saucepan, his mother is likely Jewish, which he hinted at in videos he made about 10 years ago. So, and see, we're probably into the trauma thing here. Because a Jewish woman gives birth to AIU, disappears or dies. I would like to know the whole story here. And to which extent is Devon Tracy, when he's hallucinating about me being a murderer, to which extent is he trying to pursue basically a heroic version of his own mom, which he lost as a child, his own Jewish mom? Good night, everyone. By the way, I wanted to talk about the Eliza Yudkowsky interview because this guy, you know, this AI guy is going around with his gay voice and claiming that humanity will be supplanted by AI. But he gets it wrong and just missing the theory of phenotypic revolution. So it's not the Grok type of AI that will take over us. It's another type. It's the type that controls our genes. So how about, instead of talking about it tonight, I'll make more like a full show about it maybe tomorrow if the news is calm. That is it for tonight. Thank you so much to our massive donors, John Galt on Rumble and Greatest Whitest. The show relies on your shoulders, gentlemen. Good night.